Nova Guest List Podcast
with Kieran McGuinness.
The very best in indie, alternative, and homegrown music from the seriously addictive Radio Nova.
Yeah, the Undertones on Radio Nova, my perfect cousin. It's Kieran McGuinness. It is the all-Irish hour of the Nova Guest List. What a pleasure it is to have you. We have a very special co-present tonight. We have writer, musician, creative person, Ronan Heshin here with us. How are you doing, Ronan?
Hiya, Kieran. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you. So for people who don't know you, I'm assuming a lot of people would know you, but a lot of people might not know you. You are a celebrated, I can say that, you can't say that, I can say that, a celebrated Irish artist. You've released three brilliant albums, most recently Dictionary Crimes, which was nominated for the Choice Music Prize. And you've released three brilliant books, most recently Ghost Mountain, which we'll be chatting about, which I think is an absolutely excellent kind of modern fable. It's brilliant. So you're a massive, I suppose, creative person. And that is a, I don't know, it's a proud thing to have on your CV, I suppose.
Yeah, when I think back, I think I've been sort of creatively on the go since about 1993. So it's, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
So I've been, you know, got into music, my first bands in the early 90s, played my first gig in 1993. And as you say, was part of the underground music scene and a very vibrant scene in the late 90s, 2000s, and three albums as part of that. So music was a huge part of my life. And then about 2012 or 13, I sort of changed and I sort of stood back from my sort of creativity, sort of thinking, to be honest with you, that I wanted my headspace back, that I didn't want to be a person who was constantly trying to squeeze every last bit of juice out of his brain. And then after 5 years, my sort of biological creative clock kicked in, only this time it was writing. And I was quite surprised by it. People who knew me, I think, because my songs were quite storytelling, weren't that surprised. But I hadn't expected it to take that turn. And really for the last sort of 7 or 8 years, it's become the thing I'm sort of most known for in my life now, my writing over the last three novels.
Yeah, it's gas. So, but yeah, your songwriting has always been very literal, not literal, sorry, but lyric focused. Like, you're a fantastic guitar player, but the lyrics were the things that kind of, I think, drew people to a lot of your songs. And especially those gigs where it's almost like there was such a connective thing with the stories and the way that you would tell stories that it totally makes sense that you would go on to do writing. But we're going to chat about your most recent novel, Ghost Mountain, which is an exceptional work. But we're also going to chat about the kind of music you're into and the kind of music you have made. So that might be interesting. So I think one of the things that people ask is that you were a musician called Mumbling Death Row. And you released three albums under that title. And I suppose for some people, they might get the reference, but for others, where did the Mumbling Death Row name come from?
Well, I started out playing as a guitarist in bands. And then when I started writing my own songs in the sort of mid to late 90s, I got very much into acoustic blues music. So musicians like Blind Boy Fuller, Blind Lemon Jefferson, you know, Mississippi John Hurt, the Reverend Gary Davis, who himself was blind. So when I started playing all this stuff, the guitarist in my band said, we're going to have to just give you a blues name. So why not a Mumbling Death Row?
Oh, it was as simple as that. He just said it.
He just blurted, a guy called Ben Schaldeis, who now lives in Seattle in the States, but he just christened me, just blurted it out and became my stage name in a band.
Yeah.
So it wasn't kind of the, you know, it was just my own musician name in the band name, which was Boxcar at the time. But it sort of stood to me, and I've been called many variations, but
it's a great name, and it the bluesy sound off it connected with the music. But we're going to chat about some songs that you recommended, and this one here I think will really connect with that, what we're just talking about, that you know, finger picking style, that blues kind of influence. And this is Mirren Bradley. So why did you choose Mirren Bradley and the song? Tell us about the song.
Well, the song is Frankie, and this is a song that I know quite well from Mississippi John Hurt, who was one of the great acoustic blues players. I think it's on his 1928 album, which has a lot of his, you know, famous performances. And he was sort of rediscovered in the 60s. And Mirren Bradley, when I saw her playing on Jules Holland, I wasn't familiar with her, not really kind of exploded her. She plays it so brilliantly. She's a great technique and real soul. So love to hear her play it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. This is Mirren Bradley. This is Frankie. And this is a gorgeous piece of finger-plicking blues. It's Radio Nova. Yeah, what a song. Roller Skate Skinny, Speed to My Side on Radio Nova, and that's from the book Catcher in the Rye. Ro was just telling me your skinny roller skate skinny, something like that, right?
Yes, it was a nice literary reference to lead us into
that's perfect.
The conversation.
Yeah, so let's have a chat about your most recent book, Ghost Mountain. It's your third novel. I think it's a brilliant read for people who don't know. It's kind of like a modern fable. It's a mountain appears and nobody seems to know where it comes from. It isn't exactly explained as the story goes through. And then all the you can probably tell people better about your own book than I can. But just for people, that's what it's kind of basically about, I suppose.
Yeah, so that's the basic. What kicks off is that there's a ghost mountain that suddenly appears, and it looks like a ghost because it has these two hollows like eyes and a third hollow like a mouth. And so the initial sort of inciting incident in the story is the appearance of this mountain, and it affects a number of characters who live in the vicinity who are kind of unconnected. One is the town drunk. Another guy is the clerk of maps. There's a retired art teacher and her dog. There's a couple where the wife is an old soul and the husband is a young soul.
I loved the old soul, young soul thing. It was such a brilliant, recognisable little sort of trope, but it ended up being such a strong part of the story. It's great. And there's a bit in it about throwing bricks through windows, and it's very funny. It's very soulful. It's a brilliant, brilliant book. And I guess there's a kind of a... I guess a feeling. It's very creative. It feels a little bit like an alternative album. I know it's not, but you know what? It doesn't. It feels differently written. It doesn't feel like it follows the pop novel thing. It's deliberately inventive, and I think that must probably stem from your music career a little.
Yeah, I think I learned a lot from songwriting. You know, I think one thing about songwriting is that it's kind of. You basically walk around with a lightning conductor on your head and you try and attract lightning. You don't, it's not something that's too calculated. So I try to be spontaneous writing it. So I would sit down at my computer and I would just wait. I would just wait until my sort of chattering mind would slow down, and I would write really quickly. And I'd always try to use something from that day. You know, there's references to a theodolite, to brioche, to broken windows, whatever.
Soup.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, well, I've reached the age of soup. Once you hit 40, you start to see soup. Things like soup and, you know, the fall makes sense once you hit 40. You know, you start seeing the wisdom of them. But it was really about trying not to plan out the story. The kind of one thing kids talk about a lot is imagination, and adults don't really use that word as much. So I was really trying to let my imagination drive the story and not to just try and, I think with a third novel, there's a risk that you're writing technique takes over, and I didn't want my technique to be in charge. I wanted it to be as spontaneous as possible, so I just really tried to push myself and make it as vivid and real and take as much of my imagination as possible and use it.
Would you say that writing an album and writing a book are comparable, or is a book kind of like a couple of albums?
I would say they're comparable. I tend to think of, we use the phrase art form, and I tend to think of the art and form as two different things. The art being the creative, imaginative bit, and the form being the actual manifestation of it, the expression of it. So the art can be the same, but the form could be a novel, it could be a song, it could be, you know, a piece of art. So I try and not to get too hung up on the form.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a brilliant book, Ghost Mountain. Go and check it out. It's a pleasure to have Ronan Heshin here to talk about it. If you'd like to ask him a question or talk about art or, you know, art forms or albums or novels, 087-1818-100 or at Radio Nova 100 on Twitter or Facebook or 321 Kieran on Blue Sky. Lots of information there. Let's chat about your music. So you've released three brilliant albums. Why don't we have a listen to one of the songs after the ads? It's Cheer Up Charlie Brown from your most recent album. And then we'll chat about music and creativity there. All right?
That's great.
Sounds good. Yeah, that's gorgeous. It's Mumbling Deaf Row, otherwise known as Ronan Heshin, who is here with us this evening. How are you getting on so far?
I really enjoy it, Kieran. It's lovely just to play some music and to sort of relive some of those songs that I wrote back in that,
yeah,
that album.
That album was Dictionary Crimes, and it's 12 years ago, 2012, right?
Yeah.
So it's 13 years ago now, yeah. And it's a brilliant album. And it was nominated for the Choice Music Prize that year. and could have won only one of the greatest Irish albums ever released, was also released that year.
True. And congratulations again on winning that year.
Thank you indeed. Yes, I've got the award right here.
Every time we meet, I have to congratulate Kieran on winning the Choice Music Prize the year we were both nominated. So once again, my daily congratulations.
Thank you indeed. That's the rule. But it's a brilliant album. And I suppose that was a period. It's funny because you've had two kind of careers that developed, you know, through a kind of a 10-year period. And then the musical career arrived at that point, and it was, the album is really well played. It's really kind of rich. There's some gorgeous melodies, especially in that song. But all the songs are really kind of lyrical, and they have a lot of soul to them. When you wrote, what was the process of writing a song? Was it like you're talking about writing books? You want to try and write quickly and capture something. But that doesn't sound, the album, the songs that you write sound really crafted. Was that the case?
Yeah, so like each of the albums I did took about 5 years. So I would spend about 6 months on a song. So I would essentially hum the song to myself, walking around, which this was the days before people had earbuds. Nowadays you can walk around and talk to yourself and nobody will pay attention. So I'd have to kind of, which is one of the reasons why my projection isn't great in singing, because I'm so used to sort of singing on the sly. Mm. But I would just carry the song around, and it would, in an almost archaeological way, the lines would just one by one be sort of scraped away by just repeated sort of humming and singing. And with that album in particular, I wrote a lot about family life. There was a lot of storytelling in the previous albums. And there are certain, like that song is about being, the pressures of being a new parent. You know, I had a wife and family to support for the first time in my life. And there was a vocabulary with that. I, like, for example, I wanted to put the word milk into the song. You know, we say milk every day. And when you've got young kids, and our kids are bottle fed, so it was always about, you know, making up the bottles. Milk. Our life was milk based.
Yeah.
And, but, it, you know, apart from Safe as Milk, I think Captain Beefheart, I can't think of that many, you know, milk related lines in the music. So part of it was to try, and I always felt pop music needed to kind of avoid losing touch with life and the ingredients of life. And so that album, I really tried to turn the focus of the lyric writing towards what was really the substance of my daily routine.
Well, so, I mean, you wrote three albums. I know that you do still get the guitar out and play, but like, do you miss the process of writing an album, or the process of building a creative? Is it just gone, or did you just change it into writing novels like Ghost Mountain?
Well, I think it changed itself. I think kind of creativity is a living thing. It's kind of like having a cat or something. Like, it shows up when it wants to on its own terms, and you just have to clear a space for it. So it showed up as music for a long time, and it's still there in the background, but I've got the message that it doesn't want to be music.
But like, you wouldn't sing a melody or something and go, oh, that's a melody, I need to sit down with that.
And I do have a lot. Like, I have enough material if I were minded to put another album together. I have enough melodies and tunes, but they're not igniting in the way. A creative spark is very recognisable, and you'll notice yourself. You'll know the difference between just a pattern and something that is inspired. So it doesn't have quite that ignition yet.
Okay, well, let's listen to another one. This is from the previous album, The Herring in the The Herring in the Brine, which is excellent as well. This is The Cost of a House. Do you want to give us a little line just about what this song is about?
This song is really about coming to terms with things not happening for you. You know, the future you wanted, you know, the dreams you had not really coming to be.
Okay. The Mumbling Death Row, The Cost of a House. We're here with Ronan Heshin, and it is Radio Nova.
Oh no, that idiot's house.
Yeah, lots of people enjoying that one. Carl has been on. That sounds absolutely gorgeous. Who is this? This is Mumbling Death Row. And someone else said, can you say the name of the song? So the first song was Cheer Up Charlie Brown by Mumbling Death Row. That's how you find Ronan Heshin online and his music, with his music hat on. And that one was called The Cost of a House. Ronan, so let me just set a scene for you. You're looking to be inspired and you want to put on some music. What kind of music do you choose to put on?
I like, my taste kind of varies from the sort of cacophony of, you know, The Fall or something like that.
Yeah, you're a huge Fall fan, Marky Smith and the boys.
Yeah, and I just feel that's just so wild and unpasteurized.
Yeah.
I love it. I just find it incredibly inspiring. And then I also like very, very calm music. I like a lot of boring electronic music by people like Jihei Hatakeyama, or, you know, even Johan Johansson, or people like that, Max Richter. But a lot of the music I would like is by these people who are either from Scandinavia or Japan. I don't know the names of the artists, never mind the songs. And they just kind of, you know, are sort of a wash of music. And I like the anonymity. I've never liked star-driven music. I've always liked people who are music first. So I listened to, certainly for my first novel, I listened to a lot of music when I was writing it, but not so much anymore. But I have this kind of, I missed the middle part. Mm. But now that my kids are getting into music, I'm sort of rediscovering guitar music.
Well, this is it. I find that myself with my daughter. My eldest daughter is bringing home stuff that I was never listened to before, but she's really into it. It's really interesting. So this is a gorgeous song you've suggested. This song is Operating Theatre. Can you tell us a little bit about the band Operating Theatre? Some people will be, they'll know a little bit about it, but tell us a little bit and we're going to play the song then.
So how I came across Operating Theatre and this song from Lisa Carey, who's been a band called the Jimmy Cake, and she had suggested it to me because it had been, she'd heard it on the street. Is it Caroline Polachek? Is that how you pronounce it? Anyway, the contemporary pop artist had done a cover of it for an ad campaign. And I've loved the music of Roger Doyle, who was like a godfather of electronic music in Ireland. He's our Brian Eno, and he's a classical genius, and he's a huge catalogue of music. So he was the main creative force behind us, and it's just a real classic.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous song. So check this out. A lot of people will know this, but if you don't, this is Spring Is Coming with a Strawberry in the Mouth by the act Operating Theatre on Radio Nova. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. That is Operating Theatre, and that is the band name of Roger Doyle and his amazing music. That is Spring Is Coming with a Strawberry in the Mouth. What an amazing song. What an amazing set of sounds. It sounds so futuristic or something. Well, it sounds so modern for something so long ago. We are chatting to Ronan Heshin here, the author and musician and swimmer and things like that. If you'd like to ask Ronan a question, 087-1818-100. We'll answer these after the ads. Our at Radio Nova 100 on Twitter or Facebook. It's Radio Nova. Why don't we do another one of the tunes that Ronan has selected? It is David Kitt up next on Nova.
It's Another Room.
Yeah, look at that. That is Move It On by David Kitt on Radio Nova. Another choice by Ronan Heshin. We're chatting to Ronan Heshin is the author of loads of brilliant books, loads of brilliant albums, but most recently Ghost Mountain is the book. Go and check it out. It's just a brilliant, brilliant read. And it's the way the chapters are, it's kind of bite-sized nearly. You could sit down, you can go for a whole couple of chapters, or you can just have one. Isn't that, that's the way to sell it, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's surprising among my brother or friends, people have said, love the short chapters. Gotta keep the customer happy.
Before we go, have you enjoyed your co-present?
I really have. It's been lovely to kind of listen to some good music and to sort of get back in touch with music and creativity. It's great.
Yeah, so let's do a couple of quick questions. So I need short answers on this, okay? Right. Keith and Swords, what's your favourite fall song?
Winter.
Winter. This is the one you sent, and it's like 9 minutes long, right?
Yeah, there's two parts, but yeah, it's on Hex Induction Hour.
Yeah,
Hex Induction. So Winter was a huge influence on Ghost Mountain, actually, that song. Just the whole atmosphere of it. And there's a mad kid with an archbishop's hat with a green skull and crossbones on it. And the mad kid says to his mother, who has a dog, give me the lead, give me the lead. Yeah. So that crazy mad kid is an influence on Ghost Mountain.
There you go. Okay, so we won't do too many more, but here's a good one, right? What's the best gig you've been to? What's the best gig you've been to with a small crowd?
Oh, very.
Millie. Thank you, Millie.
Millie, that's a really, really good question. I remember seeing there was a guy, Clive Barker. Do you remember him?
The guy who wrote the horror novels?
No, he kind of did kind of bluesy sort of slide guitar music. And I remember seeing him in a hotel in Wexford. He was on tour and he wasn't really known at all. And he played there, a tiny crowd, and he was amazing.
Yeah.
Kind of Kelly Joe Phelps type style, blues guitar, slide guitar.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. I went to see a band in South by Southwest, a Scottish band, and I forgot their name, and it's just off the top of my head, and there was almost nobody there.
Crankies.
The Crankies, yeah. But they had a song on the compilation, the official compilation. It was my favourite song on the compilation. I saw that they were playing, made a note, went to see them, and there was like eight people there, and it was an amazing gig, and they gave it absolutely everything. I remember kind of saying, that's one of those, like, just play the songs and enjoy it, and, you know, that there'll be someone who loves it. Ronan Heshin, we've got one more song of yours, Haunted by Shane McGowan and Sinead O'Connor. We'll get to that, but we're going to play a brand new song first by a band called The Rose Caps from Galway. I hope you like this one. It's called Modern Life. Let's do this, and then let's do a little bit of Sinead O'Connor and Shane McGowan. It's Nova. Yeah, that is Haunted, Shane McGowan and Sinead O'Connor. Ronan Heshin, the author of Ghost Mountain, thank you so much for coming in for a co-present this evening.
Thanks very much for having me. It's my pleasure. Can I just correct? It was Clive Barnes, not Clive Barker. It was the
Clive Barnes
musician I saw playing live. So apologies,
not the horror
to Clive.
Writer.
I was froze on the air. But thanks very much for having me. It's been lovely talking to you and picking music.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. Ronan Heshin, go and check out his brilliant albums and his brilliant novels as well, Ghost Mountain being the most recent. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for all your texts and tweets tonight. We'll see you here next Sunday night from 6, and stick around for more seriously addictive music with Greg. It's Radio Nova. Good night.
The Nova Guest List Podcast with Kieran McGuinness. The very best in indie, alternative and homegrown music from the seriously addictive Radio Nova.